Hey, it's Darren Johnson, Campus XM, Drive Time Podcast. A little bit of talk. And I'm going to talk for a little while. I am in my car parked. It is a balmy 57 degrees in Albany, New York. Albany was the final Jeopardy answer last night. The question was a very simple one. The category was state capitals east of the Mississippi. All right, so I don't know why they said east of the Mississippi. Maybe ambiguously, there's an answer that is west of the Mississippi, and they didn't want to get into all of that. But it was, name a state capital who, and they ask this, you have to answer in a question, which is ridiculous. Whenever I watch it on TV, I don't answer in the form of a question. I just say, blurt out the answer, but I knew it instantly. And I think it's not just because I live in this area. It's just that also it was relatively easy. It's a major state. So what is a state capital whose last two letters also are the abbreviation for the state? Now, how easy is that? Albany, NY, NY is New York. It was tremendously easy. They all got it, I believe. Or maybe not. I don't know. The nerdy one won, but that doesn't describe much because usually the winners are nerdy. So the person won. Sometimes I dislike the people who win on Jeopardy. I don't know why I dislike them. I just feel like maybe I'm pretty good at Jeopardy, and I feel like maybe they've had some advantages in life, like this recent college scandal that's going around where kids, pretty much their parents paid for them to have people take their SATs, and they paid coaches to say they were athletic when they weren't, just to get them into really good colleges. I never had any advantages like that. And I feel like a lot of these people, they seem to have come from backgrounds where they didn't have the disadvantages I had growing up, which I'll get into in a second. I was going into the gym just now, and I just got out, and I made the choice to either podcast or get a coffee, and I chose to get a coffee. I'm waiting for my daughter. She gets out of college in about, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, so I can squeeze one in. And I am on the street, so you can hear cars pass by. I did turn off the engine, so it should be relatively clear. Sometimes I'm on the road, and it's not so clear. And as I was getting into the gym, because I'm in Albany, a disgraced former political operative was entering at the same time as me. And at first I didn't recognize him. He's about early to mid-60s. And he is, he just looks like an ordinary guy, kind of. And he had on a shirt with a sleeveless shirt, and you could tell he had a good haircut and everything. And he was entering at the same time as a woman who you would describe as beautiful and 25 in a Eastern European kind of way, and she had on, it's a balmy, like I said, it's like a balmy 57 degrees in Albany today, she had on like a half shirt and yoga pants, and I thought maybe they were just entering the gym at the same time, because, you know, what's this ordinary looking 63-year-old guy doing with a 25-year-old woman who looks like, she's taken care of, and then they signed in together. If you have the Black Pass at Planet Fitness, you can bring a guest. So he saved a few bucks on that. And he seemed nice enough. As I was entering, he held the door for me, and he said, "Oh yeah, consider it part of your workout. It's warming up before your workout." I was like, "Okay, that's fine." And then it started to click. And I had to go to the bathroom, a stall bathroom, if you get my drift. And I went in, and I went on my phone, and I didn't recognize that guy at first. And then I typed in a name who I thought who it was, and it was him. And I was like, wait, isn't he in prison? So I typed in, is he in prison? And he's actually appealing, and he is out on, he's able to... I guess he's out on bail is what it is. So until his appeal can be heard. And, I was thinking, I've known this guy in relative circles. He's a well-known political person. And this is New York State. And I recently wrote a book called Professor Mule, Prof Mule, and you can go to profmule.com and buy it. It's lowered to $2.99 temporarily, and I lowered the price because I have a lot of cheapskate relatives who, even though I always send their kids gifts and pay for family reunions and send, you know, thoughtful things and send Christmas cards and send boxes of chocolate or whatever to these people, they can't find it in their wallets to come up with more than $3. So I lowered the price to $2.99 temporarily. Profmule.com, self-promotion. The point of the book is the author, who is the protagonist, who is loosely based on me, the author, is he's realizing the whole world is corrupt. And he's deciding whether to join that corrupt world or not. And he has someone kind of facilitate his entry into this corrupt world. He's 32 years old. I'm older than that. But I'd say around that age is when I realized that the adult world is largely corrupt. And most people don't realize it. They choose not to. They'd rather, you know, play the role that they were taught as a kid. And this goes all the way back to the Middle Ages, the knights. And they were given this nobility and sense of honor and choose that. But they don't want, you know, it's like still believing in Santa Claus. They don't want to believe that there's this whole other world. And maybe, you know, the so-called 1% want us to think that there's this honorable world and that we should just abide by it and that there's something to be said for honor. And meanwhile, they're just robbing the bank. This person, we had him, I was running a college PR office. And I have a cigar here, but it went out because I'm talking too much. Let me relight it. And we had him as a guest speaker. And he showed up in a $100,000 sports car with another beautiful woman. Could have been the same person. I don't know. And much, you know, half his age or less. And he was kind of rude to everyone. And this was a community college. And he decided just to play a YouTube video of monkeys, like, playing drums or something. And that was offensive to everyone in so many ways. You know, we had a black president and a large number of our students were black, and equating them with a bunch of monkeys, you know, maybe he can get away with it because he was a big political person. We had a member of our board of trustees who courted this person, and she was corrupt. She was a part of the machine too, a lobbyist. And so corruption. We have this person, he comes in, he acts like an idiot, he offends the audience, and then he just left in the middle of the whole event. And that was the last I saw of him until I started seeing him in the papers. And he, you know, did a lot of bid rigging and getting things built. There was something called the Buffalo Billion, where they were donating $1 billion or something to people who wanted to start businesses in Buffalo. So I own a business, and I applied for it. I own a newspaper that's distributed in New York metro area, and it goes up as far as Albany and Utica. And I figured my newspaper was relatively newer at that time. It's about 10 years old now. You know, I could expand to Buffalo if I got some funding. Why not? The model works in New York. Why not on the other end of the state? So that would have helped a lot because I've had these expansion dreams for a long time. So I applied for it, but it turns out it was all rigged, and I took at least a few hours to apply, and I wasted a few hours of my life for something that was rigged to begin with. I didn't need $1 billion, I needed maybe $100,000, and they promised office space and things like that, and I would have relocated to Buffalo, and it would have really helped my paper at a time when ad dollars were disappearing because of the digital apocalypse. People were moving all their ad spends. And since then, they've come back a little bit, but we were losing advertisers, and that would have really helped. So that didn't work. So then I noticed, like, the state was buying a lot of advertising on TV for, like, don't smoke. I'm smoking a cigar now, but don't smoke. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, et cetera, et cetera. They were buying all these ads, don't do opiates. You know, like, duh. They were doing all these ads, and I was like, and they were buying them in places that were kind of high profile, and I didn't think, understanding the ad market, I didn't think that was the best expenditure of their money. And it would have been nice if they were spending their money with local businesses, not, you know, Facebook. The money goes to some guy in California. Forget him. Why are you giving your money to some guy in California? Keep your money in the state. At least I'll spend it in the state. If you give it to me, the ad dollars, and my ads are a lot less expensive. So I contacted my assembly person. I figured this is the way to go. So I contacted my assembly person, and she said, oh, yeah, that sounds like something that makes a lot of sense. Why don't state agencies advertise in local publications? Keep them alive. They're all struggling. Why not keep them alive a little bit? Sounds like a nice thing. So I went back and forth with our assembly person for a while, and she was receptive and then radio silence. And I spoke to one of her interns, and the intern said, oh, yeah, we called the governor's office, and he yelled at us, and, you know, not the governor, but one of his operatives yelled and said, no, we can't do that. What are you, crazy? Shut up. We don't want to hear from you again. So they were bullied into silence, our assembly person. And, of course, she goes along with it because everything's corrupt. If you want to stay in power, everything's corrupt. So, you know, and when I was younger, around the age of my protagonist and Professor Mule, Prof. Mule, it's on Amazon. I started running third-party candidates on Long Island of New York, and I can't tell you the level of corruption I encountered. It was just amazing, and maybe our parties took 1 or 2 or 3% of the vote, and just the, you know, the people that would try to bully you and talk to you or have a slice of pizza with you, that type of thing was, and these were people that were pretty much, a lot of them weren't really the most cultured people in the world. You know, a lot of them were rough around the edges. They would, you know, try to intimidate you and threaten investigations. And they had ties into the DA's office and the state DA and all of that stuff. And, you know, they were constantly pressuring people that were trying to make a move. Where 1% or 2% makes a difference is, in New York State, third parties can back major party candidates. So sometimes we'd back a major party candidate and give them 1 or 2 or 3%, and they'd win. So it's just people would try to bully little people like me. You know, I'm just a little guy. I've tried to abide my life by not being corrupt, and I haven't let my newspaper become corrupt. It's been 10 years. I feel at times it should be further along. And if I were corrupt, I think it would be. I think we'd be have that expansion in place, and we'd be in multiple cities besides New York City and Albany and wherever, and these little towns upstate and Long Island. I think we'd be further along than that, but I'm not willing to do that. But then, you know, you see time running out. I'm approaching 50 years old, and am I going to be like Ray Kroc, where I hit in my 50s, or am I going to miss my window? Am I going to start to lose it? So I don't know. You know, you see that. And then I see people like, I went to a Catholic school, and some of the kids, I was a good person, and I am a good person, and I don't do things that are illegal, but I will bend the rules when I can. But there were people in Catholic school who won't even bend the rules. They were really Dudley Do-Rights. And one of them was one of the smartest kid in our school, and he was a Dudley Do-Right, and he just abided by everything and went with the flow, and he joined the military after college because he wanted to get military experience because he wanted to be a professor of military history. So he wanted to get military experience because that would add gravitas to his resume. And he believed in all this stuff, like, oh, we should be in Iraq and et cetera, et cetera. And he was one of the first people blown up by a mine, and his tank ran over a mine in Iraq and was killed. So, I don't know, he has left kids behind and all that. So you can be a little bit too much of a Dudley Do-Right. It's such a loss of potential. Really good person. Person like that would never win election. Too honest. But then you see people, like all these people have ties to the governor, and I'm not saying the governor's corrupt, but, you know, things get built. New York State built all these rest stops recently that cost tens of millions of dollars each, and they're like cathedrals. Other states, if you go below the below Maryland and you're driving on 995, they don't even have rest stops. Like New York State, they have these full rest stops with restaurants and gas stations, and now they're beautiful and all that, and working toilets. And if you go down south, you're pretty much It's like a prefab building on some rusted iron stairs. A bunch of weird truckers and, you know, cruisers, people looking for anonymous sex. And you pee in a pretty much a hole in the bottom of these prefabs, and you can see floating feces and coffee cups and, you know, ice cream cups and things like that floating in the feces and a horrible smell. And you can't even park and sleep in these places because you know you're going to get robbed and beaten or something. And you see like these lot lizard women and maybe the lot lizard men too. And it's creepy, but if you turn off the highway, it's even worse down south. And in New York State, we have these, we had these decent rest stops already, but now we have to build these cathedrals in a state that has shrinking population. Doesn't, you know, who are getting these contracts? It's not people that are randomly chosen. And they all kind of, you know, bid rig in a way. They say, oh, I can build that for $3 million, and it ends up costing $15 million per. So I have to light up again, talking too much. There it goes. Cops coming by. All right, so everyone's corrupt, you know, you learn that, or they're blind. So that's the two types of people. So I was looking at the Democratic challengers and the people claiming that they want to run maybe as an independent for president in 2020. And I think that the appeal of the Trump to a lot of people, and I'm a political independent, as I said earlier, I think the appeal, it's an ambulance. Up here, they have private ambulance companies. It's I guess they have that in a lot of parts of the country, and I guess they have, they're quasi-governmental, but they get contracts, and it could be quite lucrative. I knew someone who owned one of those companies, and he made a good amount of money off of it. Became a millionaire, at least, multimillionaire. But I was looking at the candidates, and I'm independent, and I'm not saying I voted for Trump. I voted for a third-party candidate because I live in New York, and my vote doesn't matter anyway. But I think the appeal of Trump, and something that the Democrats and any independent has to worry about, is we know who he is. I think it's weird. I don't know how people like him, and most people who are successful in politics, Democrat or Republican, don't have a conscience. They don't seem to fret about anything. Like this guy I saw at the gym. He's there at the gym, still has a, you know, mail order type bride type person. You know, that's, he's still on top of the world. I didn't see what his car was in the parking lot, but he's on parole, not parole. He's out on bail. And even if he does go to prison, it'll probably be one of those easy prisons where the bride can visit him and all of that stuff, and it'll play tennis and that type of thing. It won't be any different than the Planet Fitness. And that'll be his prison. It'll be light. He was only fined $100,000, which to him is probably nothing. You know, so they could be corrupt, get tens of millions, if not more, in the bank, hire the best lawyers, and is life really that hard for them? Now, they're probably corrupt because something bad happened to them when they were young. You know, something made them turn. Just like the protagonist in my book, something bad happens to him. So something made them see the light and made them think, okay, time is ticking. I better do something. This is my life on Earth. Good deeds don't really have a consequence in heaven, if there is a heaven. So I may as well take advantage of what's going on. Bad things happen to me, someone could say. And I'm going to seize life and not be a chivalrous knight, you know, a knight of the round table doing goody-goody things. So that's it, and that's what happens. And I wonder how they lose their conscience. Like, they don't, he can sleep with a porn star, and at first he denies it, and then when the evidence is overwhelming, he can say, oh, she's ugly, and his fans still like that. That's, it doesn't compute, and there's 100 things like that with him. And somehow it just bounces off him. And I think it has to do with this movement of people seeking out their authentic selves. Who is your authentic self? Well, my authentic self is an asshole. All right, my authentic self is an asshole, but at least we know you're an asshole. So someone like a Trump, we're seeing his authentic self. He has gotten to a point where he is being an asshole. He probably, you know, speaking of that college scandal where people were paying their way in, he probably had his father doing something similar. And in those days, it was probably a lot easier to bribe some dean of such and such. He probably did something similar. I've spoken to people who got into Harvard and in the old days, and he said, oh yeah, I just wrote an essay when I was in 11th grade. When I applied to Harvard, I used the same essay. I found out I was accepted. I had mediocre grades. Didn't really do that much in a Harvard. Got a professorship, you know, and life has been easy for that person ever since. Hasn't really lived up to his potential. Doesn't care. It has a good professor gig, gets paid well, has an easy job. This professor, you know, you turn in papers, gives you an A, and that's it. Made a whole life for himself off of one essay he wrote in 11th grade that was halfway decent. And that was it. Meanwhile, other people have to really struggle to get into these schools, and they could be good, but they don't have connections. They're not corrupt. And maybe Trump had something similar going on. It seems that people who went to school at the same time as Trump don't even remember him being there. So I'm not saying he paid for grades and didn't go to class, but he probably had it a little bit easy. I had a rich roommate for a while in college. He would pay for essays to get faxed to him in the days of faxing, and then he would just retype it and put his name at the top. I'm surprised he had the energy to retype it. I think sometimes he would just wipe it out, white it out, type his name with the other person, where the other person's name was, and then Xerox it so it looked like it was just his. I think he was that lazy. So that's the world. The world's corrupt, and all you could be accountable is for yourself, and you could either choose corruption or not corruption, but I think some people, it becomes apparent that they should be corrupt. So I see all these candidates, and they don't have any, like, it doesn't hurt them. Like, Elizabeth Warren running for president on the Democratic ticket. Meanwhile, they get a lot of donations, so that's kind of corrupt. They're getting donations because they declare presidency. And she has no chance of winning. She made a fool of herself claiming she was Native American, and then she did a 23andMe test, and she's like 0.1% Native American. And she touted that. Oh, look, I'm Native American. But who isn't? Like, who isn't? Probably everyone has 0.1% Native American in them. Big deal. Like, why is this a thing? And just some ancient lineage you might have has nothing to do with, you know, being a minority. Unless it presents itself and you look like a Native American and, you know, you had all the disadvantages of being a Native American. All right, then you can claim it, but... if you have a Native American name, maybe. But if your name's Elizabeth Warren and you look like a librarian from Topeka, that doesn't count. So you see her. And then you see, like, the PR machine behind some of these other people. You see, like, this guy Beto O'Rourke, and he has a PR machine going, and they're running him through all the news agencies today, and it's all like, I never heard of this guy until this moment in time. And because he kind of looks handsome, he'll get some press. But come on, is that going to be President Beto O'Rourke is going to beat Donald Trump? You know, the Democrats have to take this seriously. Because going back to the authentic self, people realize he is a goof, but he's, at least we know who he is. We didn't know who Hillary Clinton was. We saw who she tried to present, but we don't know who she was behind the scenes, so we assume the worst. We assume she was mean and crazy behind the scenes. She could be the nicest person in the world behind the scenes. She didn't go to states to meet a lot of people. She didn't go to swing states, and so people didn't know, so they had to go by media images. And the assumption is that she was a jerk, and he was a jerk, but at least we know he's a jerk. And we know the level of jerkiness he is. We don't know the level of jerkiness she was. That and, you know, the fake news kind of did her in and the FBI investigation and things like that. So, in a candidate from New York has a big advantage, especially New York City. Because we know who they are, because New York media is still alive and well, and they scrutinize their politicos like crazy, more than any other city. I love watching New York One. It's a great channel, and they scrutinize everything. So we know Mayor de Blasio, Bill de Blasio, he's considering a run. And we know, like, a lot about him. We know he eats his pizza with a fork and a knife. He doesn't know how to eat pizza in the New York way. Or he went to a church, and he started dancing along to an R. Kelly song that they were playing at a black church. And not realizing, oh, R. Kelly's, a rapist, probably, most likely. And so he was dancing along to that. We know he's goofy. He probably eats his Snickers bars with a knife and fork. We know he's goofy. That was a Seinfeld reference. So we know about him. And at least if he ran, we can say we know something. Mayor Bloomberg, former Mayor Bloomberg, is Mike Bloomberg, is also considering a run. But I think he would run as an independent. And he also went through all that scrutiny. So we know who he is. And, you know, New York is the center of the media world. So, you know, we know what he's about. Also, this guy from Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks. I don't know how he got 60 Minutes to do, like, a whole segment on him. He might announce that he's running for president. No chance whatsoever. Is he going to beat Trump? The guy who runs Starbucks, you know, that's ridiculous. But he gets a whole segment. Why? Why does he get a segment? Is Starbucks a big advertiser on CBS? Well, you know, why is he getting press? So, Bernie Sanders, we knew who he was. We knew who he was last time he ran. We know he's old now. And that is definitely going to work against him. He's about the same age as Trump. But somehow Trump just seems more vibrant than Sanders for some reason. I don't know why. You know, it's sad to say. But he seems like a little bit hipper for, I'm talking about average people, not me, for average people, workaday people. And these are people who buy into the whole chivalry idea of nobility, and but they're willing to accept a leader who might be corrupt, because they're all corrupt, but at least he wears his corruption on his sleeve. So I don't know how that guy got pressed. He seems pretty unlikable, honestly. You have to at least be likable. Oprah Winfrey hasn't announced, but a lot of people say she should run. I think Oprah would be a good candidate, actually. We know a lot about her. We know she's smart. She's been doing great stuff with her journalism. She did a piece that was anti-Michael Jackson after the Neverland documentary that was on HBO, the very good Neverland documentary. So Oprah would be a good candidate. We know a lot about her, so it's good to have that whole record where we know who you are. And I think she would get out the Obama vote, which Hillary Clinton had trouble getting out. So I think she would win if she decided to run. Also from New York, Kirsten Gillibrand. Now, she's not from New York City. She's from upstate. But she was one of the early critics of Trump. She's younger, vibrant, female. Hasn't done anything stupid. Hasn't done, like, the 23andMe DNA test. She hasn't done anything dumb. More of a traditional politician. Kind of lucked into her position when Hillary Clinton ran for president. There was an opening in the Senate, the U.S. Senate out of New York. Kind of lucked into that. I think she won a primary against someone who should have won, against a favorite. So she never had to kowtow. Sometimes she comes off as a little lightweight when she speaks. She has to work on that. Say more substantial things. Sometimes she comes off as a little bit light. But Donald Trump isn't exactly Daniel Webster. You know, he's not an orator, of the highest caliber of grand ideas. You know, he's not Douglas versus Lincoln. It's not that kind of debate. We're never going to get that again, I don't think. Douglas, Lincoln, Kennedy, Nixon, those types of things. We're never going to get that again. So she's better than Trump. And it would be interesting to see if he did anything sexist while she ran. I think she could rally people. Then again, maybe the country's sick of New York people running for office. Who knows? You can't have all, you know, are we the breeding ground of presidential candidates here? It seems like a lot of them are coming out of New York, and they, or at least they have ties to New York. Also, running, considering running, is Kamala Harris. She seems a little too slick, has a book. I hate it when candidates have a book. So she has a book and she's running, and all of her appearances seem a little too slick. Like the camera work and the way they're showing her just doesn't seem grassroots enough. I've mentioned Bernie Sanders, Beto O'Rourke. You know, there's a bunch of candidates. The former, let's see if I have his name. I had a list of potentials. The former mayor of, I think it's Newark, and he's now a senator out of New Jersey, is considering a run as well. And that's Cory Booker. And he also has had some corruption scandals. Maybe people are sick of that. He says a lot of good things. He's polished. But then sometimes I think a candidate can be too polished. And Trump, coming from the world of business, it was kind of refreshing, I think, for a lot of voters. Although I don't think anyone can come from business. I think maybe we're looking for someone a little bit more professional at this point in time. Then other declared candidates are John Hickenlooper, Looper, never heard of him. He's a governor, former governor. Jay Inslee, he's a current governor. Senator Amy Klobuchar, no clue. Julian Castro, who's a mayor, ex-mayor of San Antonio, no chance. Tulsi Gabbard, she's a representative. Former Representative John Delaney, author Marianne Williamson, and tech executive Andrew Yang. So, crowded field. Everyone thinks they can beat Trump. And then on the Republican side, you know, maybe there'll be a candidate or two that pops up. Who knows? William Weld, I think, was rattling his saber. So, it's a nice day out. And those are the candidates. So, I see this former political person, and you know, things ended up okay for him, I guess. Even if he gets the prison sentence, he'll probably get off like halftime or something for good behavior, and it'll probably be like a country club, and he'll probably get conjugal visits, and I don't know, the guy broke every rule in life, legal or otherwise, and then he ends up landing on his feet. So yeah, he doesn't have hundreds of millions of dollars, but maybe he'll end up with fives of millions or something. You know, sometimes enough is enough. So in these Professor Mule books I'm writing, I have a second one that's almost edited. That's what I explore. Corruption, what it does to a person, and why people decide to become corrupt. In my book, the protagonist, Craig Fortran, is Dudley Do-Right. He's an adjunct. He is an adjunct professor. He's obeying all the rules, and then something happens to his wife. He has to get a full-time job. He wants to get a full-time job at a university. He's realizing that's corrupt, too. And he gets an offer to mule a smart drug to New York City for some extra money. Maybe he can help his wife now. So his wife gets, you know, she got herself mired up in some corruption. He decides to secretly do this, and he meets up with a runner in New York City, an alluring sophisticate in the city, who, she's the runner for the smart drug. It's for, you know, the elite type people in New York City, and she's their liaison. And she's a very interesting character. You can read more on profmule.com, but for $2.99, just buy the book. Go on Amazon, type in Prof Mule, Darren Johnson, and it'll pop up. So give it a look. Otherwise, it's beautiful out. I'm going to wind down this podcast. I try to keep these around 30 to 40 minutes, make them bite-size. Enjoy whatever you're up to. Send me an email if you want me to talk about any particular thing. I'm going to be adding new, more and more features to this podcast as time goes by, so stay tuned for that. I might get a different URL, which I'll tell you about via this podcast if you have to go to a different iTunes location to get it. So let me know. All right, it's CampusXM, campusxm.com. You can email me at campusxm@cccn.us. That's cccn, three C's and an N, dot U-S. U.S., like United States. CampusXM. All right, tuning out. It's Darren Johnson. Have a good day, everyone.